And I look forward to really give you something to encourage you, excite you, making you happy and help you to live the everyday life with Jesus and to win new people to Jesus. You know, I really love the stories in the Gospels, the stories about Jesus. I just finished a book about it, not in English, I'm sorry, but in Norwegian, and I call it Jesus Stories. You know, the story about Jesus is the greatest story the world has ever heard. And many people, even in Norway, haven't really heard the story. They've heard about the little child in Bethlehem and the angels and, you know, everything. Thing of that, Christmas and so on, but really heard the message, what's all about, the gospel, the good news. Gospel is good news, and it's new all the time. It's new every day. The gospel is the good news, and I love these stories about Jesus. Jesus and the little man, Zacchaeus. He climbed up into a tree to see Jesus. And Jesus stopped by and said, hello. He was a big sinner. He was one of the worst in his city. He was a tax collector. He was a thief, taking people's money. And Jesus chose him and said, hello, I want to eat dinner with you today. He didn't point up in the tree and said, you are the worst man in Jericho. He said, hello, I want to be a guest in your house today. And through Jesus' attitude and Jesus' love and Jesus' power, this man's life was changed that day. What a story. I said, what a story. Fantastic. And it's so many stories like that. In Luke 5, we can read from verse 17. You know this story. Now it happened one a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It's an interesting opening. Jesus had been alone in the wilderness for days, having fellowship with his Father, praying, worshiping, and now he's back. He is literally back home. Some of the other gospel says that it was in his own home. Jesus lived in Capernaum. You see, Capernaum was a very open city. Nazareth was not an open city, not for Jesus. It was not many miracles in Nazareth when Jesus preached because they despised him. They said, who is he? Who is he? We know his family, we know him. Who is he? But in Capernaum, Jesus had a great open door. Even the centurion, the officer from the Roman authorities, opened his heart to Jesus in Capernaum. Jesus was back home. People came from all over. Galilee, even from Judea, Pharisees, and the religious leaders, and they were all there. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I believe the power of the Lord is here this morning. Because Jesus is here. Because we are gathered together in the name of Jesus. And where two or three or more are gathered together in the name of Jesus, he is in the midst of them. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's read on. Verse 18. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. It's good to have good friends. These friends had one thought: we want to bring our paralyzed friend to Jesus. We want to bring him to the meeting. That's a good thing, to bring friends to the meeting when Jesus is in the midst. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. What happening? Through the tiling, they are putting this man down. Slowly. And there he is at the feet of Jesus. Amazing. Have you heard about that? Any other place? No. This is a remarkable story. When he saw their faith, when Jesus see the faith of these brothers, these friends, he said to him, to this paralyzed man, man, your sins are forgiven you. What a greeting. Man, your sins are forgiven you. Well, in the religious world, it's coming some confusion. Listen to this. Verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But then Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately. Let's say that word together. Immediately. Immediately. Hallelujah. Immediately. He rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. And to the word of God, we can all say amen. Amen. This is some story. The house was packed with people. These friends could not find any way to bring him to the feet of Jesus. So they went up to the rooftop, through the tiling, down in front of his feet. And Jesus, look at this man. Of course he was a sinner. Of course, you could see he was paralyzed. He was laying on the bed. But the first words from the mouth of Jesus is this: man, or friend, say another translation, my friend, your sins are forgiven. That's a powerful message. That's a powerful message. I'm amazed about how Jesus met with this man. People in the world today are struggling with regrets, with shame, with fear. Bad self-pictures, bad conscience. Because of sin, of course. Because when with sin, all the evil and curse and destroying things came into the world. But what is our message to this city? What is our message to Norway? What is your message to Nigeria, to Ghana? Let me hear some names of countries and nations here. Come on. What did you say? Congo. Uganda. Nigeria, Gabon. America. Brazil. Fantastic. Nambia. Zambia and Nambia. This was Zambia. So many great nations in Africa, in South America, in Asia. in Europe. And I just feel so strong to speak to the nations and say, Nigeria, your sins are forgiven. Ghana, your sins are forgiven. Zambia, your sins are forgiven. Brazil, your sins are forgiven. Norway, your sins are forgiven. I'm speaking about attitude. All people are sinners before God, and we get saved through believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. But many Christians meet this world with a total wrong attitude. They meet this world with a pointing finger. You're a sinner. Repent. But you see, Jesus met this man with the right attitude and with the right message. Because Jesus himself was the gospel in person. He was already carrying the sins of the world. And Jesus knew that he was going to the cross of Calvary to give his life for this man's sins. So already at that time, he could say and proclaim, my friend, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Yes, let's give Jesus a clap. Hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven. What a message. What a message. I want to tell my neighbors, your sins are forgiven. I want to tell my friends, your sins are forgiven. I want to tell my colleagues, your sins are forgiven. I want to tell people in this nation, your sins are forgiven. They say, what did you say? You see, people know deep in here, they are sinners. Most people have that feeling inside, some bad conscience. What did you say? Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. That's a good start. That's a good opening. That's a word you bring sinners to the gospel and to Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. What a message. What a fantastic message. Start to say it loudly at home. I do it. I say it again and again. When I pray, Norway, your sins are forgiven. I want to proclaim it in the spiritual realm. Norway, your sins are forgiven. There is no sin in Norway who can hinder people from receiving Jesus. The only sin, Jesus said, is that they do not believe in me. So we need to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. Share Jesus. So Jesus looked at this man and he says, my son, my friend, man, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. There was some Pharisees there, some religious leaders. They get immediately irritated. I have some simple points in this message. Number one, your sins are forgiven. That's where everything starts. Number two, God's way is simple and powerful. God's way is simple and powerful. You know, religion makes things difficult. Religious leaders always make things difficult for people. Are you with me? Always something you have to do to get better. Always something you have to improve to get accepted. That's the nature of religion. So when Jesus said, this is freely, I give it to you, to you, your sins are forgiven. These people start to discuss, who is he? How can he forgive sins? Who do he believe that he is? Because they didn't have the revelation about who Jesus was, and they were guarding their religious system. And they said, this is not right. This man is a sinner. He's living in this town. I think we can ask people about his life. Maybe he's sick because he has sinned. Maybe he's laying on this stretcher because his parents sinned. Maybe he's been a bad guy. Maybe this is the judgment of God upon his life. Maybe this has happened to him because he was a bad boy. The religious way of thinking is very complicated. But Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. You remember the man who was blind? Jesus opened his eyes. And people were talking like this. Why was he blind? Because of his parents? Because of his own sins? And Jesus, he say to them, it's not because of his sins or his parents' sins. It was an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed upon this man. You see, sin and sickness came with the fall, and the first people felt in sin. And sin and sickness has followed the history of man. That I'm so glad that God sent Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And he took every sin, and he took every curse, and he took every sickness. So that we can come to him freely. Without thinking about deserving anything. I don't deserve salvation. It's a gift. Hallelujah. I believe in grace. God's grace is Jesus Christ. I believe in the gospel. It's the good news. Why am I speaking this? Because I think God will touch our hearts and our attitudes to people around us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I will give you a short Bible study in the midst of the sermon here. Are you following me? Yes, I can see that. Wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And some of you have probably heard me preach these things in the Norwegian services. This word from the Bible has totally changed my life the last years. I read it again and again and over and over, over and over. And it makes something new within me, refreshing my own spirit, strengthening my daily life with God, helping me to meet people in the world with the right attitude. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, hello, are you in Christ? Yes, you are. If anyone, I am in Christ, you are in Christ, anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. Are you new this morning? Oh, you're new every day. Brand new every day. Hallelujah. The inner life is renewed day by day. And then we have to let that renewal also go through the mind and the body. I know about that. But there is a life within who is brand new every day. Glory to God. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things has become new. Verse 18. Now, all things are of God. Stop a second. All things are of God. Isn't that great? When it comes to salvation, how much is it of you? How much have you done? Oh, I've been a good boy. I have been to all the meetings in my home church, back in my homeland. I went to Sunday school, I went to services. I did everything pastor and my father told me. That's a good thing to do. That is not the way to salvation. Because all things are of God. Nothing of Arnfinn. Thank you for your excitement. Are you with me? Nothing is of you. Everything is of God. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You don't need to do anything. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation? So God has reconciled you and me with God. Let's say it together. I'm reconciled with God. Put on a hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm reconciled with God. And God has given me a ministry. God has given me a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. Oh, hallelujah. Not the ministry of being a troublemaker, but the ministry of reconciliation. So you see, God has given you and me a fantastic ministry. And in the basic, it has nothing to do if about being an apostle, pastor, evangelist. This is for all Christians. We have got an important task to help people to see that God has already reconciled himself with them through the cross. And we have also a ministry to bring reconciliation among people in the world. Because where you are, the love of God. Where you are, the peace of God. Hallelujah. What a ministry. So, this is good news. We are reconciled to God. I have peace with God. Not because of me, only because of him. But listen to verse 19. It's taking us any further. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Hello. Well, I am reconciled with God. That's wonderful. You are reconciled with God. That's fantastic. But read this, 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Ooh. Ghana, Zambia, Brazil, Nigeria, Norway, England. God has reconciled the world to himself. Oh, hallelujah. Some Christian has that strange attitude that God is angry to people. God is not angry. God put all his anger on Jesus on the cross. Yes, in the future there will come a day of judgment. But I'm very happy that we live in the time of grace. Jesus said in the synagogue in Nazareth, he opened the book and he read from Jesaja 61. And he said, I proclaim a year of grace. Hallelujah. And he spoke not about 1 year, but about a period of time in history called the time of grace, the time of the Holy Spirit, the time of harvest, the time of the church, the time from Jesus left till Jesus come back. That's the time of grace. Isn't it wonderful? So that's why I can say, Norway, you reconciled with God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry for the sin in the nation. Let some, as Christians, rise up for the standard of Christian living. But we have to do that by grace. Not only by our own effort. Because no one is good enough in ourselves. How is it with you? You're not good enough in yourself. But I want to live a good Christian life by the grace of God. And I believe that the church, you and me, we are salt and we are light in this world. The church is so important. By being here, worshiping, praying, preaching, be Christians in our neighborhood, on our working places, we are light, we are salt. We are holding things back. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is alive in our midst. But I don't believe in going around irritating on the sinners, criticizing them, pointing fingers to them. I believe to tell them, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. I think that's good evangelism. And I think some homes will be open for you like Zacchaeus, I spoke in the beginning. Come home, let's have dinner together. What did you mean when you said, my sins are forgiven? You see, God has already forgiven you all your sins. What a positive message. In Norway, so many Christians have been pointing fingers to the unsaved people. Oh, don't do that. Why are you smoking? Why are you drinking? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that all the time? You see, you cannot put all these things upon people. We want a high moral standard in the society. I know that. But you see, even if you have a high moral standard in the society, it's not salvation in moral standard. It's only salvation in Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen? Because we are all sinners. So it was with the law of Moses. If you break one little commandment, you have broken them all. I'm happy for Jesus. Okay, I shall come to a conclusion, but I'm so happy for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I really want to shake you a little bit with this message. You see, we need to have the right attitude. Because I meet Christians all over in different nations. On Christian television, I saw a man some weeks ago. I turned off the program very fast and I heard what he preached. He said, well, God has really tried to bring Norway to God by his goodness. But now, these people in this nation are doing so much evil. And now, God will use it by other type of force. And I preach the gospel, man. So then I have only one prayer to pray, that God, don't let my neighbors turn off the television on that channel. Because I want my neighbors to hear, your sins are forgiven. I want them to hear about Jesus. I want them to hear the gospel. Hallelujah. And what do I need in my Christian life? I've been born again Christian for, I can't say it because then you believe I'm old. More than 30 years. More than 40 years. Stop there. I stopped there. But what I need today is not another commandment. But I need the grace of Jesus in my life every day to improve, to grow, and to live by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe in freedom in Jesus Christ. And I believe that that freedom and that grace and that power who is in the resurrected Jesus, it's much better to put me and keep me on the track than every pointing finger in the whole world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus some praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, I haven't finished reading, but I look at the watch up there. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. It says in another translation, he's not holding their sins up against them anymore. So what God in heaven, when he look at Norway, he's not holding up all the sins. But he's holding up Jesus, so to speak. Because he wants this nation and every people in this nation to hear the good news about what Jesus has done. I'm speaking about our attitude. I want to have God's attitude. You remember the two sons of the father. One lived such a good and godly life, and the other one, he went to a foreign country, spent all the money and everything he had inherited, lived a life in sin. But the father all the time looked at him as well as his son. He was waiting for his son to come home. He didn't say, he's not my son anymore. He waited for the lost son to come back. And you see, God look at all people in the world as daughters and sons. They are not automatically saved, I know that. But God's heart is beating for every boy, every girl, every child, every grown, every man, every woman. God's heart is beating for all people. And you look at them as sons and daughters. And he's waiting for them to come back. Hallelujah. And when Father came and met that young man, when he came back broken, destroyed, after a life in sin, Father come against him with open arms. And the son says, "Oh, Father, I've sinned against you and my home and my God." He says, "Oh, you are already forgiven. I have forgiven you. The party is already there. We have waited for you for years." You see, this love of God is so fantastic. 20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. "Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." That's evangelism. Through our life first, with the right attitude, with the right words. My son, my brother, my sister, God has already reconciled you with him. Your sins are already forgiven. It happened something on the cross 2,000 years ago. You were there in him. Your sins were on that cross. Your curse and sickness was on that cross. All your bad behavior was on that cross. And all God's anger hit him, so that you could get free. And by his wounds, you are healed. Hallelujah. That's a message who make music in my ears. Not all these religious things, even coming into charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches and new churches and old churches. It starts in life and freedom and spirit. But after a time, some people start to point finger. Like in the meetings of Jesus. Why is he saying that? How is he so positive to this sinner? He can tell him the truth before he forgive him. Let him hear some Bible verse here before he forgive him. Please, Jesus, knock him in his head with the Bible before you open it and tell him about forgiveness. Jesus, don't listen to this. He said, "You're forgiven. You're forgiven." "Ooh, I'm forgiven. My God. Ooh, I was paralyzed. But now, I'm forgiven." Still he was sick, but he's forgiven. And the religious people was totally confused and discussing. They had a discussion about, what is this, what is this, what is this? We are ambassadors of Christ. Let's read verse 21 as well. I'm going from Luke 5 to 2 Corinthians 5, back and forth. You follow me so good, I can see. Let's conclude here. And verse 25, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And listen to this. Jesus became what we are, so that we could become what he is. He became a sinner so that I could be righteous. And because he took all sins for all people, because he was the creator of all people, he could take the sin of all people because he had created all people. All people in eternity are created by God. That's why he could, as the Son of God and the Son of Man, go to the Calvary instead of me. So I was there, and I was punished when he was punished. There is no punishment back for me. I heard Christians say, "Oh, I have a bad time at the moment. God is punishing me." Never. He punished Jesus on the cross. You can be in the midst of trials. There is no life without trial. But I tell you, he will help you through. Hallelujah. And after a time, you will say, "Thank God, it's over now. It's over." But there will come new trials. He will take you through. He will help you every day. In the toughest periods of time in my life, sometimes I haven't even seen or felt that He was there. Sometimes I said, God, where are you? But on the other side, thank God it's over. You were there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's always there. He became what I was so that I could be what He is. Amen. You and me, we are righteous people by the grace of God and only by the grace of God. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. The Bible says in Luke 3, verse 5, the crooked places shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth. That the prophecy about Jesus from Jesaiah 40. Make a way for the Lord. Prepare a way for the Lord. The Lord is coming and He will make the crooked ways straight. He will take away the religious difficulties and He will make a way for people to the Lord. And the way is Jesus Himself. You see, the religious world has so many rough and crooked ways, difficult ways. You have to do that, don't do that, all these things. Coming into our lives and our churches, instead of the holy life, Jesus wants us to live by the grace and by the growth of the Holy Spirit and by the encouragement from the church leadership and the brothers and sisters in the church. As the New Testament tells us, have a spiritual life is growing. Instead, all these rules and commandments is coming, destroying life and real spirituality. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For Jews, a stumbling block. The easy way, the way of the cross, is for the Jews a stumbling block. What is a stumbling block? For the religious world, the cross is a stumbling block. The Greeks say a scandal. The word of the cross, the gospel, is a scandal for religious people. Why is it a scandal? Because religious people always want to do something themselves. Oh, thank God for Jesus and all He has done, but I want to do at least a little bit of myself to deserve something. But you deserve nothing. And you don't need to deserve anything. Because, in fact, you deserve everything because He has done it. Hallelujah. You deserve everything because of what Jesus has done. And it's a foolishness for the Greek, for the heathens. Stupidity. Okay. But for those who receive it, it's the power of God. Let's go for the closing part. Number three. Number one was, your sins are forgiven. Number two, God's way is simple and powerful. Number three, a new beginning. Then Jesus looked again at this man and He said, rise up! Rise up! And the man is jumping up. Immediately, strength is coming into his body. And Jesus says, take your bed and go home. Start a new life, a new beginning. And the man is rising up, saying, hallelujah. And he is running out of this house, the house of Jesus. And he's running with his friends back to his home. And all the way back home, he's praising God. And he became a Jesus follower. He got a new beginning. Hallelujah. The healer is in the house today. Jesus is a healer. I've been healed many, many times in my own life. And I know so many of you have been healed by Jesus. Thank you for good doctors. That's good. I go to doctor when I need to go to doctor, no problem. But I'm happy that the very best doctor, the chief doctor. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. By His stripes I've been healed. By His stripes I have been healed. And He is here this very morning to heal. And you see, healing is more than physical, psychological. It's for the whole man. And this man on the stretcher, this lame man, he got a new start this evening. I think it was an evening meeting, this. We have a morning service. I think this was the evening meeting. Hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven. God's way is easy and powerful. Number three, a new beginning. You run out into a new world. Got a new beginning. Jesus is here right now. And He will touch your heart. He has already done it. And for a moment, maybe Catherine will play, and after a while, the singers and the brother with the drums will come and make some noise for the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to be sure that everyone in here has received these words from Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. If there is anyone who has never received Jesus as your Savior and friend, you can just now say, Jesus, thank you that you have already forgiven me my sins. I give my life to you and I receive the greatest gift of all gifts, salvation. Hallelujah. See, if there is one single person here who has never received this word from Jesus, son or daughter, your sins are forgiven, I want you to just raise your hand so I can see it, and I will just bless you where you are sitting. You don't need to stand up or do something, but you can give me a little sign, a little confession. It's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. Okay, I'm sure that we all are on our way to heaven. I'm sure that we all have received the grace of God. I'm sure that we all know the gospel. My second question is, if you want to say this morning, Holy Spirit, help me with my attitude to people around so I really can help people to Christ, you can raise a hand. I will pray for you. Yes. Lord, see your hands. Lord, help me with my attitude so I can love people more. Live a life who bring Christ to Jesus. Hallelujah. I know we all will that, but if you feel in a special way, pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. It's many hands. And God will in this service do something in your heart. Fill up with divine love so that you can start to love your neighbors and friends and evil people who have done bad things against you. You will start to love them. God bless you. Like the Father loved His Son, who had done so much evil to His home and family, He never stopped loving Him. Amen. Keep your hand up and I will pray for you right now. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful people raising their hands, asking you to refresh them and touch them by your love in a special way. Lord, thank you that you live in them. Your love is in them. You are in them, Lord. And I pray for them this morning that a new flow of mercy and compassion and love will start to flow through them. And Lord, thank you for changing something in their attitudes. Hallelujah. Thank you for a new attitude over all people, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just receive it. Let's all raise our hands and say, we receive it, Jesus. We receive it. We want to see this world with your eyes. We want to see the people around us as you see them. We want to proclaim to this world, your sins are forgiven. We want to be preachers of good news. We want to be Christians of good news. Hallelujah. Father, set us free from all religiosity. Hallelujah. And let us flow with you in the love of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I will pray a little bit more for you, but just stand where you are. Amen. Just stand where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many have sickness in your body and you want to be prayed for this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Please come forward if you want to be prayed for this morning, for sickness. Just please do that. You are Christians. It's no danger to do it. Just stand on the line here. I do what the Holy Spirit, hopefully I do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. And if you have sickness in your body, just stand on the line here and we will just lay our hands on you. Jesus is the healer. I am not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Oh, thank God. He is the healer. He said to this lame and paralyzed man, rise, go home to your house. And I proclaim for you, it's a new beginning today. It's a new beginning today. Even in the physical and psychological conditions in your life, it's a new beginning today. It's a new beginning today. And the grace of God will flow through you as power and comfort you and satisfy you and make you whole. And make you whole. This is not only physical. I can feel it. It has to do by making you whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Tack Jesus. Harald och Tormod och Kanslush. Let's be. Bara sing lite och så. Let's be with me. We have some more to do before we close. But let's pray for these people. Lay your hands on them right now. We don't need to talk a lot. We are not the healers. We lay our hands on you. And the power of God will hit you and fill you. Hallelujah. And let's sing and praise Him while we pray here. Receive healing. Receive healing.